Amen. Oh, listen, I don't know who wrote that, but man, the Lord must have moved on them pretty good to pin those words down. Did I mention how I loved him? How I worshiped and adored him? Amen. Well, I tell you, I think that ought to be a constant thought on our hearts. Amen. Well, we've been a couple of weeks now since we've been in the book of Acts, and I appreciate Brother Sprayberry filling in for us last week and getting you preached to, and so I'll pick back up now, and you'll be back into the bad preaching. So Brother Sprayberry got to do a good job. I'll come back in and we'll plod along a little bit further if we can in the book of Acts. Though, look with me in Acts chapter number eight, and if you will, we got down through verse number 25. And talked about the man that was Simon the sorcerer, the fellow that was trying to, you know, carry on and cause all kinds of problems and trying to buy the power of God and thought that that's the way it worked and thought it was just a big trick and a magic show like he'd been carrying on. But he found out that that wasn't so. And Peter had some pretty straight and stern words for him that he needed to hear. And that was where we wound up. Verse number 25, that the disciples or the apostles had come down to Samaria and they preached to the, Gentile, if you will, the folks that were half Gentile, half Jew. They preached to them, and it said they went along as they returned to Jerusalem and preached in the villages of Samaria. They were preaching the gospel. Now, as we begin to look at this whole picture of these first eight chapters, the emphasis has been, and rightly so it should be, on the gospel. I mean, you see the beginnings as Jesus is getting ready to ascend in chapter number one, and he just tells his disciples, they're worried about when are you coming again, and when's the end of everything. They're worried about those things. Jesus said, don't worry about that right now. What you need to worry about is preaching the gospel. You need to worry about the gospel. You need to be worried about being a witness and a testimony. And then in chapter number two, you see how that Peter stood up and he preached the gospel and 3,000 folks got saved. And then as we progress through the other chapters that we have, you've seen that that's what the emphasis was, the preaching of the gospel. And as I say, rightly so, that's what this whole thing's about. You know, a lot of times today, people think it's about entertaining people. We think it's about, you know, drawing a crowd. We think it's about some higher life experience. We think so many things. And, you know, we get our thoughts all misplaced when we do those things. But simply, the objective and the purpose of the church is to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. So here you have in chapter number 8, and we've looked at it. We see how that Philip went down to Samaria. What did he do? He preached the gospel. People got saved. And then we have that little interlude where Simon interacts with Peter and the other apostles that are there. And they told him, you need to get the gospel, son. You need to get saved. Amen. So when you come down to verse number 26, that's been the theme. And that theme continues. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 26. It said, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah, and that is Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you again for your love and mercy on us. Thank you for the good time of song and fellowship that we enjoyed there. And I pray now, Lord, add your blessing to the reading of the word and then to the preaching of it. And I pray you'd just show some dear sinner tonight. Maybe they're there on Facebook. Maybe they're here in the auditorium. Whoever and whatever it may be, I pray, speak to their hearts. Show them they need Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. And we'll certainly thank you and praise you. Give you worship now for everything you're doing. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I want you to look at this again. And we have, I know, just probably a few weeks ago, we looked at these same scriptures and talked about this man. We're going to talk about him again. We're going to wade our way through this. Before, you know, we talked about all the questions that this man had. There were so many questions, and still the answer is always Jesus. So this man had some questions, and thank God Philip was able to direct him in the right way to answer those questions, right? But here, well, let's look at him again if we can, and we'll look at it a little differently and talk about the situation and the way that the Lord is handling it. And I guess really what I want to talk about tonight is just the salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. The salvation of the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's just look at how he got saved. Amen? I mean, hey, I like that. You know, we've been talking about some snapshots of some sinful men and when they got saved. I want you to know, when you look at this man, you see somebody and you think, well, he seems to be a pretty decent, upright, and nice, and moral, and all of those words you could use to describe him in a positive way. That seems to be the kind of guy he is, and he probably is. But you know what? He needed saving too, because he is a sinful man. And I like his attitude. I like his way. I like a lot of things about him. But brother, he still needs salvation just like any other man. So let's look at him tonight and let's talk about the way that this man got saved. I want you to notice some things, if you will, about him. First of all, notice this. I want you to notice that we see, first of all, a man who is really perplexed by the scriptures. I want you to notice, let's look at this man. Let's look at the Ethiopian eunuch, and you'll see him as a man that is really perplexed. I mean, he's really puzzled over the scriptures. And you see that as what it tells us he's reading there in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has written these scriptures. If you go back and read chapter 53, and it is the story of the suffering servant of God. And it talks about him being these things as these verses that this man was reading. He said, here's the place of the scripture that he was reading was this in verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch was looking at this, and he was reading it out loud, and he was puzzled over what it meant. He could not understand what the scripture was saying. He couldn't understand it. I mean, you've got that. As I said, we've got a man here who is really perplexed about the scripture. Can I tell you tonight, sometimes me and you get kind of puzzled over the sum of things in the Word of God, don't you? I do. I see things and I say, boy, what's that talking about? What does that mean? Or how can I interpret? But aren't you glad when you get saved, the Holy Ghost of God helps you see some things. And before you get saved, as God's dealing with you, I believe he lets you see some things. He lets you see that you need him and that you are a person in a position that is without salvation, and maybe you are in the same mode as this fellow. I think this fellow is what we could truly call a seeker. He was looking for the Lord to do something in his life. He was looking for something, but he just didn't. So look at this, if you will. First of all, look at the state of this man. I mean, let's look at him. As you notice, the Bible describes him and says, here he is, that he was, verse 27, Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. All right, well, I mean, if you at that time and this time now, you understand who the Ethiopians are. They are a very dark-skinned people. Always have been, and anybody from that area, that's just who they are, and that's no, you know, I'm not giving you any information that you don't already know. But what I can tell you is this, it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus is interested in your salvation. Doesn't matter if you're lily white, or if your skin is dark colored, or if you're sort of Hispanic in the race, and it's sort of a medium, a tan color. If you're yellow, as a Chinese person might be, or somebody in the Far East, or if you're an American Indian and you've got red skin, hey, it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus is interested in your salvation. Amen? I mean, it just don't matter. But we're given the description of this man, and it said he's an Ethiopian, and it tells us that he's a eunuch. Now, that means that he has some situation in his life that has caused him to be there. He can bear no children. He can't have any children, naturally or physically. He's been put into that state, and sometimes it's because of the position that these folks held in the government. They were put into that situation because of the person they served under. And we don't know any of that about that. Don't need to get into that, but that's just who he is. But then the Bible tells us not only is he an Ethiopian, is he a eunuch, but it says he's a man of great authority. Under, that means he's right next to the queen in her power and in her place. This man is there. This man is a high-ranking official in the Ethiopian country. I mean, he's somebody. As you and I would say out here in the country, he's a big wheel, amen? I mean, he is somebody of great authority. And the Bible tells us a little bit more about it. It says that he was a man that was the fellow that kept her treasury. He had charge of all her treasure. And we find out something else, though, that he's a man that wants to serve God. It said that he was returning from Jerusalem, and he'd come to Jerusalem for to worship. He'd been in Jerusalem. What was he in Jerusalem for, preacher? He was there for the time that had just passed, all of these things that had just happened, and it was the feast of Pentecost after the Passover when Jesus had died. This man might have been there and known that Jesus had died. He might have known some of that. He might have heard the talk. We don't know. He was there probably round about somewhere in the city when Peter stood up and 3,000 folks got saved. He might have heard about that. We don't know what all he heard. But all they know, the Bible just gives us a little bit of information, but I guarantee you, this man is wanting to know something about God. He's wanting to know something. His interest is piqued. His desire is whetted. Now, I want you to understand some other things about this guy. He's educated. He's no dummy, because look at this. The Bible said he's reading the Scriptures. Now, sad to say, but in these days, not everybody could read. Not everybody had that education. Not everybody had that ability. And I want you to know something else. This man was probably rather well off financially and well to do. Why do you know that? He had a copy of the Scriptures. He was reading off of one of the scrolls of the Scripture, the Word of God. What was he reading? He's reading Isaiah. Now, me and you read that, it's got 66 chapters in it. If you go read the book of Isaiah, and he's already in chapter 53, I don't know, maybe he's read the whole thing, but he comes to this place in the Scripture, and he's reading it, and he gets puzzled. He doesn't quite understand what all of the Word of God is saying, but it's saying something, and he wants to know. want you to see. You see, first of all, the state of this man. But notice this. As I say, I believe you can see that you see the seeking of this man. He's looking for something. Look here in verse number 28 again, and notice what it says. It says, he was returning and sitting in his chair. He read Isaiah the prophet. He's reading the Word of God. I mean, he's seeking something. Look down there in verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, you think you know something about the... Oh, yeah, he said, I know something about the Word of God. He said, well, come up here and help me to understand. He said, I cannot get this. I cannot grab a hold of it unless somebody helps me. Thank God, aren't you glad? Man, God's still calling preachers, leather lung, I mean, a big, strong, healthy men to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. I mean, preach the truth and give it out straight, gun barrel straight, heaven sweet, hell's hot, sin's black, and brother, you need to get saved. I mean, there's still some guys around preaching that today. Amen? And hey, let me just tell you, there's still some folks out there that are in the situation of this fellow. They are seeking something about the Lord. I mean, look, he had been to Jerusalem to worship. I mean, there was something there for him, and he just wasn't getting it. And it's almost, and I believe you can see that, it's like when he left Jerusalem, he's left with an emptiness that hasn't yet been filled. As I said, he's got some questions, but he just can't get the answers. There's something he wants to know, and he's just not satisfied with as far as it's come. So you see, here's his status. I mean, great man, wonderful fella, seems to be knowledgeable, educated, well off, seems to be all of those things, but it didn't get him any closer to knowing the Lord. And he's reading the scriptures. You know what Jesus said about the scriptures? He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. He said, and they are they which testify of me. The Word of God's where you're going to find out about Jesus, who he is, what he is. And as a matter of fact, you think about that Jesus said to those folks, the Pharisees and scribes and all that on that day, he said, search the scripture, for in them you think that you have eternal life. Well, that's true. There is eternal life in the scripture. But, I mean, look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and so on. None of that's been written yet when Jesus is saying those things. What's he got to point them to? The Old Testament scriptures. What is Isaiah? Isaiah is an Old Testament scripture that contains a lot of information about who Jesus is and that he was the Messiah, that he was coming, and that it was God's remedy for our sins. And especially chapter 53 talks about his suffering, his death, and he says, and yet he opened not his mouth, but was as a sheep before his shearers dumb. He didn't fight back. Jesus gave his life. He gave his life. So you see that the seeking of this man, but then you also notice that the Spirit is working and working in and toward this man. Isn't it wonderful the way the Spirit works? Verse 26, the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord said unto Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You know what? Old Philip never had questioned, said, why, Lord? He just got up and went and done it. Amen? He just got out there and went to the south part. And look here in verse number 29. It said, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I mean, there was probably an entourage with this fellow. As I say, he was a notable character. He was an authority. He had probably servants and soldiers with him. He probably was surrounded by this group of people. But the Spirit said, right there's where you need to go. That's the man you need to see, and you need to go find him. Do you see what the Bible says about that? It said, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself. That word join is the Greek word that means to glue. Go over and stick on to this chair. Don't bother with any of these other. Don't fool with it. Brother, isn't it amazing sometimes to know that God is dealing with some specific person in some specific way? Now you say, why didn't he go preach to all of them? Because the Lord was dealing with that guy that day. He was the seeker. And if it had been one of the soldiers, one of the footmen, just some other guy, the Spirit said, go over there. He said, but I want you to go here. This fellow's the one that needs help today. Amen? I mean, just like what happened to Paul out there on the road to Damascus. The Bible said, and Paul testified himself, he said, I saw the brightness above the noonday sun, and it knocked him to the ground. And one of his other accounts that I think is in chapter 22 of Acts, we'll get there eventually, but he says, the sun, he said, and those that were with me, they saw it, and they heard a voice, but they didn't understand what they heard. I heard it, and I understood it. Why? Because it was for Paul that day. Wasn't for all them. It was for him. Amen? And sometimes that's just the way God works, okay? And that's the way God's working right here. This Ethiopian eunuch's not by himself. He's surrounded by men and helpers and servants and whatever all he's got. But God's talking to him today. God's talking to him. So as the Lord is talking to him, the Spirit is working in this whole situation and working on this fella by the name of Philip. Philip's having a great revival in Samaria. I mean, people are being saved, and the Bible talks about how that there's great joy in the city there. But then all of a sudden he said, leave this and go here where I shall. And he just took off and went. He said, don't you go out to the desert? What's out in the desert? I don't know. Nothing. Amen? Some empty territory. I mean, it's just nothing. But that's where I want you to go. So he follows the Spirit, and the Spirit leads him out here. And then the Spirit tells him, it said, the Spirit said, verse 29, unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You go right here where this guy is. And Philip ran thither to him. Amen. He went to where the Spirit said to go to. So you see, first of all, a man that is perplexed by the Scriptures. He doesn't understand what's going on. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Notice a man who is ready to preach the Scriptures. I mean, Philip understood what was going on, and he began to preach to this man what he needed to hear. I want you to notice a real, what I think is an interesting phrase, if you will. It says, this fellow, you know, Philip asked him, he said, understand what thou readest. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then it says, here's the Scriptures, verses 32 and 33, we've got Scripture. And verse 34, it says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee. He said, I got a question. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He said, I don't understand this. I can't figure it out. And is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else and I'm not getting? And notice what Philip did. The Bible says, and then Philip opened his mouth. You know, I read that and I thought, well, how is she going to talk unless you open your mouth? Y'all tried that lately? It don't work real good. Sounds kind of funny. But the phrase in the Bible is used several times when it says opened his mouth. Particularly in Matthew 5 and 2, it talks about when Jesus was on the mount getting ready to preach to the people. And it talks about he called all his disciples and then called the people. And it said when he was set, he opened his mouth. And the idea behind that phrase of opening your mouth is that you're ready to say something that is pretty deep and important. What you're about to say is something that what is about to be said by whoever it is something that's pretty deep and rather important. So whenever you see that phrase, your Bible, he opened his mouth, then get ready because something good's coming, okay? I mean, something, and really here we're not told, but it says that Philip opened his mouth and started to preach to this fella. And what did he preach to him? It said that he opened his mouth and he began at the same Scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. He preached it. You can't find nothing better to preach. Amen. I mean, when you don't know what else, preach about Jesus. Amen. Just preach about Jesus. If we'd preach more about Jesus and less about social issues and about the elections and about the Republicans and the Democrats and the world politic and the economy, if we'd preach Jesus, folks would get saved. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible says that, well, Paul said it, didn't he? He said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I mean, we need to preach Jesus. We need to preach the gospel. So Philip is ready to preach, and he opens his mouth. He opens his mouth. And as he opens his mouth, I want you to understand what he preached. First of all, realize this. He preached about the person of the scriptures. The person of the scripture. The Bible said that when he got ready to preach to him, it said he opened his mouth, began at that same scripture, those two verses that you see there. I believe it's Isaiah 53 verses 7 and 8, as you see that notated there. But those verses are talking about Jesus. And he began to preach to him. He said, you see what you're reading? You know who that's about? He said, well, let's go back to verse number 1. And he talks about, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed and who's going to believe his report and all that. And he begins to talk about, you know who he's talking about? He said, let me tell you about Jesus. And he begins to tell him about Jesus, that Jesus is that suffering servant, that Jesus is that lamb that's led to the slaughter, that Jesus is the one that didn't open his mouth, that Jesus is the one that's cut off from his generation and his life is ended and life taken from all of that. He says, that's all talking about Jesus. He said, but let me tell you, he died and he was buried, but thank God 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Amen. He said, that's Jesus. I mean, he just preaching Jesus to him. He preached the person of the scriptures. As I said, we need to understand that's where us as preachers, that's where we need to preach. Let's preach about Jesus. Now, I understand that takes a lot of form and shape, and there's a lot of other things going in with it. But, man, you'll get to Jesus if you'll preach the scriptures. It'll talk about him. You can talk about Genesis, but thank God you have pointed to Jesus. You can get into Exodus, but you'll find out Jesus is there. You can get into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and anywhere else, Joshua. You can go anywhere you want to. Judges, and Jesus is there in every one of those scriptures. Doesn't matter. Amen? He's the song in the Psalms. He's the wisdom in the Proverbs. Oh, listen. He is the one that says all is vain. Amen. He's the one that is the preacher found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let me just tell you, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Everything you want to go through, it's all about Jesus. So he preached to him about the person of the scripture. But not only that, I want you to know, he preached to him about the point of the scriptures. Look in verse number 37. And the Bible says this. It says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He had asked him, he said, here's some water, can I be baptized? He said, let me tell you. He said, the point of everything I've preached to you is this. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, he said, that's the point to this whole thing, that you don't have to keep doing what. He said, what'd you get when you went in there to Jerusalem? Well, I went down there empty and I left empty. I went down there and I thought, boy, something was going to happen. There was going to be a spark. There was going to be some joy. There was going to be something. But I left just as dead as I went. He said, but let me tell you, the point of this whole thing is Jesus. Amen. And he had preached to him out of the scriptures. That's the point of the scriptures. I mean, the point of the scriptures, not to make you a better person. The point of the scriptures is not to make you happy. The point of the scriptures is not really anything to do with me and you. The point of the scriptures is that Jesus was born, Jesus lived and paid our sin debt on Calvary. He died and he rose again. And that's the point of the scriptures. Amen. Paul said this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen? That's the point of the scriptures. I mean, hey, the point of the whole thing, that the writer in the book of Ecclesiastes says this in the very last chapter, the very last few verses. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, the whole purpose of mankind is to fear God and follow him. I mean, that's the whole purpose. We're supposed to fear God. We're supposed to fall in love with him. We're supposed to hear, what's the point of the scriptures? Jesus is the point of the scriptures. That's the point. And this fellow said, look, it ain't about baptism. It ain't about me and you jumping in that water and me doing something over here. And that's some big brownie button and a big point in your favor. He said, if you believe in Jesus, you can get in the water. But let's don't get in there a wet center. A dry center and get in there and come up as a wet center. Let's make sure you've got the point. The point. He preached to him about the person of the Scripture. He preached to him about the point of the Scripture. And then he preached to him about the promise of the Scriptures. He said, you can get down here and get baptized. He said, if you believe, he said, the promise is he'll save you if you believe in him. Amen? Isn't that still the promise of the Scriptures? That if thou should confess with thy mouth that Jesus died for you, if you believe in him and God raised him from the dead, he said, then thou shalt be saved. Amen? As I said, that's the promise. The promise is you can know Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the promise of it. I mean, you know, a lot of folks are looking for all kinds of problems. Well, you know, like, you know, Simon the sorcerer, he had, oh, we'll make money out of this. Simon said, your money perish with you. He said, this ain't what that's about. This is, you're off base. You're not on track. You don't know what you're even thinking about. He said, the promise of the Lord is this. He will save those that come to him. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast them out. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad that? There's promise. The promise is that John said in John 5:13, he said, these things I've written to you that you may know that you're saved. Amen? Thank God, aren't you glad you know that your name's there? Oh, well, preacher, I hope so. Just forget your hope so, forget your maybes, forget your, well, we'll see. Hey, it's an absolute fact when you know him. It's the promise. It's the promise. John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, if you're going to listen and think about God and believe what he said, believe what I said, because I'm God. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said that where I am, there you may be also. Believest thou this? And old Thomas said, Lord, we don't even know what you're talking about. And he said, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the promise of the Scriptures. You can be saved and get into heaven because you're believing in him. And I've got a pretty good feeling that's what Philip was preaching to him. Philip was preaching that stuff to him. He told him about Jesus, didn't he? He told him about the person of the Scriptures. Tell him about the point of the Scriptures. Now he's telling him about the promise of the Scriptures. I mean, this, as I say, what this man heard, he'd been down at the temple. I mean, one of the most revered, holy places in the world, the temple at Jerusalem. And as I said, he left as dead and empty as he was when he was down there. And like, what's the point? What did I get out of this? Why did I even come? But then on the way back, he began to read the Scriptures. And I'm telling you, friend, it's not the rites and the rituals of the church that gets the job done. It's the Word of God. Amen? Praise God for that. Aren't you glad of that? All right, let's look at one more thing. See a man who's really perplexed by the Scriptures. See a man that's ready to preach the Scriptures. But last of all, let's look at a man who is redeemed by the persuasion of the Scriptures. I mean, this man gets saved. Boy, aren't you glad that? Now, he was one on my list of those, the snapshots of sinful men. He was one on the list, and I've still got another outline about that. I might preach it. We'll talk about him 3 or 4 times. He's pretty good for that, isn't he? But anyway, he is the man that got redeemed by the persuasion of the Scriptures. He was interested in the Scriptures. He had questions about the Scriptures. He wanted to know what those Scriptures meant. Philip preached to him out of those same Scriptures. He preached Jesus. So what happened? Well, those Scriptures persuaded him to believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, those same verses got a hold of him. First of all, don't you realize, I believe you can see that he's convicted of his sin. Look here in verse number 36. It said, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, what have I got to do to be baptized? I mean, he'd heard the word. He was convicted about his own sinful situation. He said, man, what you've said clears up a whole lot of my questions and my doubts and my worries and my concerns. What you have said has helped me. And I see now that I have to be saved. You know, it's basically the same thing happened to that Philippian jailer we was reading about here the other night. Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He got concerned about his salvation. This man is concerned about his salvation. You and I ought to pray that God would send somebody down our way that's concerned about their salvation. And guess what? Me and you can't save them, but we can point them to somebody that can. I mean, you point them to Jesus, and he will save them. And this old boy said, well, you know, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Apparently, Philip must have thrown the kitchen sink at him. I mean, he's talked about baptism. He's talked about Jesus. He's talked about the scriptures. He's talked about Old Testament. I mean, he's talked about things that happened. Man, he's loaded his wagon. And that old boy's hurt so much. He said, well, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He said, well, you can if you believe. Amen. I believe you can see there that he is convicted. He's convicted about his sins. And not only that, I believe you see in that same scripture, you see he's convinced that he needs some help with his sin. I mean, man, isn't that a good thing to know that when you get into that situation, you realize you need help because you're a sinner? I mean, I remember it. I remember when I was lost and the Lord was dealing with me and I didn't know what to do. I thought, well, I'll straighten up and I'll do better. And that just didn't last. It didn't work. It didn't help. But when I got convinced that I needed him, I came to do business with him. I mean, I got convicted of my sin. I got convinced I needed a Savior. And then, notice this, this old boy got converted from his sin. Look in verse number 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In other words, that's about why can't I be baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you can't. And look, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? I mean, that's it. You think he got saved? He got converted right then. I mean, you know, I can't tell you. Well, that's the split second. I mean, I don't know. We was up at the preacher's meeting last week, and Brother Bill O'Neill was sitting behind me and Lynn, him and Miss Sarah sitting there, and Brother Langston's letting people stand up and testify. And Brother Bill got up, and he said, you know, he's scared to death. He said, when I was lost, and he said, I wanted to go, and I didn't want to go, and I didn't know what to do. And he said, I always remembered, he said, his mama, I think he said, tell him, said, or a preacher or somebody told him, said, if you'll take the first step, God will take the rest of it. He said, I just, you know, couldn't hardly get that first step. He said, but when I realized, he said, man, I stepped out. He said, and I think I saved right there. He said, then I went on down the altar. He said, somewhere along in there, he said, I don't know, but I got saved. Amen. And I'm telling you, I think that's the way it is with a lot of people. They believe the Word of God. And they move, and God saves them. I believe that's it. I mean, it's a simple act of faith. It's an act of coming and saying, Lord, I'm lost. I need you. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get saved. But, brother, I'm telling you, hey, he got saved by the grace of God. And this old boy right here did too. Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord saved? He saved me the same way. He saved you the same way. Amen. That might have been the same circumstance. It might have been a different situation. Might have been different day, different place, different time. All of that's different. But brother, you know when he saved you. Amen. I like that old song the Spears family used to sing about. It says, the first verse says, there are some people that say, we do not know whether you're saved or whether all is well. They said, you can't tell about that. But I got good news for you. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen. Thank God I know when Jesus saved me. I know the very moment that he forgave me. Amen. Let me tell you, that's the way you got to be. And this old boy knew it, didn't he? Do you see what he said? Now just briefly look at this real quickly, what he said. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter number 16. Jesus is asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they say this, that, and the other. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up. Peter, what did Peter say? Peter said, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, he said the same thing. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. couple of words added, but don't make any difference. They believe the same thing. You know what Jesus said to Simon Bar-Jonah after that? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, you didn't get this from men. You got it from God above. And I guarantee you that's where this boy got it too. Amen? I guarantee he got himself into a place of conversion. But then last of all, look at this, if you will. I mean, he got convicted of his sin. He got convinced he needed a Savior. He got converted from being a sinner. And then I want you to notice, he got a comfort after his cleansing from having his sin forgiven. Look here in verse number 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Doesn't that seem to be a hallmark about salvation? When Philip left the city up there in Samaria, what was that? It was a city, what was that? There was great joy in that city because of the preaching of the gospel. Here this old boy gets saved, and it said that he goes on his way, and the preacher leaves him, and he don't even shake hands and fellowship with him, have a meal or nothing. He just runs off. Thank God, it's okay. Amen. And he says he goes on his way rejoicing. What does it say the other night? We're reading about the Philippian jailer, chapter number 16. It said that he rejoiced about being saved with all his house. Amen. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying there's some rejoicing and some joy when people get saved. You remember what Jesus said in those parable, or the parable there in Luke chapter number 15, where he's talking about the man that had lost sheep? He told his neighbors, he said, come rejoice with me. And he told the woman that lost the coin, she called her neighbors and said, rejoice with me. The father, when the son came home, you know what he said? Kill the fatted calf and let's have a party. He said, this my son was dead and he's alive. He said, he's lost. Now he's found. And when the older brother came, he heard music and rejoicing going on in the house. And he said, what meaneth this? He didn't. He got the poochie lip. Amen. He got mad. And the rest of them, and they said, come on in, join in. Nope, I'm not going to do it. Woo, sound like some Baptists I know. Praise God.
Can't make me.
Amen. There's a lot of them like that. But thank God there's joy. Jesus said it several times in that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that comes home. Amen. Thank God for that. Aren't you glad? This old boy went on his way rejoicing. Amen. And look, Philip says he went on to Azotus, passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He just camped out there and preached. Can you believe that? That old sorry preacher, you know what he did? He went and preached everywhere he went. There was joy when he left. Somebody had joy in their heart. Somebody had joy. And he said, I'll just keep on preaching and we'll see how the joy keeps on going. Amen. And then chapter number 9 happens, and things begin to change a little bit. We'll look at that here next go round. But Philip, there's joy. Chapter number 9, but Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. It's kind of a transition there, isn't it? Gone from joy to snorting. I mean, there's old snorting Paul. I'm going to go get me some of them. That's where we're headed next. But he come up in the Baptist church, I think. He's around some of them. Amen. Anyway, we'll get into that next time, all right? But aren't you glad that there's joy, 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 joy unspeakable and full of glory when the Lord comes in. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's sing something tonight, if you will. That's right, let's party. Amen. It's party time. Amen. And it was. It was a time of rejoicing. The city had rejoiced. And now, here's old Philip's getting to rejoice all along the way, isn't he? He rejoiced with a group over in the city. Now he's rejoicing with just one out there in the desert. But there's joy in finding and knowing the Lord. Let's stand, if you would, tonight. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? Amazing Grace. All right. Page 57. You need it in your songbook. Amazing grace, how sweet